being firm that like this is where you need to perform to, and them seeing examples of people who we've helped and coached and trained and still are not missing the mark. And like, hey, if we've done everything to get you to where we expect you to be and you're still not hitting it, maybe you're just not the right fit for this role or for Acosta. And I don't mind reassigning you if you're a great employee, but you know, if we've thrown everything at it and we really feel like we've tried and you're not hitting it, like, why are we still, you know, having you in this role?
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Cristiano, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast. And even though we have a brand new co-host, Chad Peterman, sometimes, you know, one of his nicknames is Perfect Chad. Well, today, Chad is not so perfect because Chad had the wrong time for this episode. So already with a no-call, no-show on his record for the podcast. So I told our guest I would get to beat up on him a little bit for not being on here. Still figuring out some logistics since he's in Indianapolis and I'm in Phoenix. Now there's a 3-hour difference and not a 2-hour difference, Chad. 3-hour difference. But I'm excited to have our guest, friend of mine, who we met, I think, I want to say it's like 2017. We have Lauren Acosta Huckleberry on here, who's the president of Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electric out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Is that when we met? Was 2017 or 16? Where, somewhere around there.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
It was Mizoraka. Mizoraka is the one that I think introduced us, or maybe it was Tall Paul. One of those guys introduced us back then. Yeah. So it's cool to have you on here now in 2024 and to be able to tell the Acosta story. And it's always cool to still have a conversation with someone who's privately held, and you are.
Yes, we are.
So I want our listeners
still privately held.
Yeah, yeah. Good for you. And we'll talk through some of these things on here too. I just thought it was important to share with the listeners. You know, just a little bit of our history, because it is cool for me to have just watched the business, you know, from afar, and we've been able to stay. Thankfully, social media allows you to stay connected and kind of see everybody's lives, like, you know, grew up and stuff. So you know what I always thought was interesting is that, you know, your dad. I met your dad pretty early, I don't think it was the same day, but I met him and I got to, you know Zeke, and great guy. If you've met Zeke, you get it. I always love the story because I hope I don't butcher this. I should have asked you ahead of time, but I'm pretty sure. It was that he left Cuba at 12 or 13, somewhere around there, 12 or 13, right before like the Cuban Missile Crisis or some crazy shit like that, right?
The day before.
The day before.
So
good timing.
That
worked out. So let's do this. First off, thanks for making time and joining us in the podcast. I'm excited for all of our listeners to kind of hear your story and go through some of your things. And even though Chad's not on here, he did send me a few questions to ask you that are total Chad questions. So I'm sure you'll appreciate those. But let's just do this for the listeners, like right out of the gate. Let's go ahead and just let them know, you know, where is the business today? Give them an idea of the size of the company so that way they can have a good reference point. But then let's like back up and walk through a little bit of the journey to get there. So let's roll with that. From your dad getting into the biz.
Yeah. Yeah. So today we are north of 10 million as far as revenue that we do. The bulk of that is on the HVAC side, which is our sort of origin is HVAC. And in 2020, we added on electrical, and that's been a nice addition to our business. Right. To do electrical. And right now, today, we are sitting at 50 employees.
Good for you. Well, so if I'm a listener, I'm thinking, wait, did you say we started out in HVAC and then you went to electrical? Usually, like, that's not the progression that can typically go.
No,
like, you guys just don't want to do plumbing? Like, what is it?
No. I mean, there's a little bit of help from my husband. Everybody gives me a hard time because I would not hire him or bring him on until he got his electrical license. And he got his electrical license in 2019. And then I hired him and brought him on, and we started an electrical division.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Talking about, all right. And that worked out okay.
It worked out okay. It's still, we're still together. We're still working together. It's still, it's all good.
Well, listen, I mean, I think, you know, it's like I work with my wife and we made it 16 years. So like we figured it out.
Yeah.
but she didn't make me earn anything. I just was able to do it. I mean, we kind of just did it together.
Yeah. I'm not
so sure I would have actually listened to her anyway. But so let's do this. Okay. So your dad comes, you know, comes in and, if I remember correct, like he went through some training or was getting, got into some sort of like training program or something on those lines. Like get me into when, cause the business is like 51 or 50 some odd years old. Like is 1972. That was okay. That's before my time. Like walk us through just a little bit of how he got into the business. I mean, he started in HVAC and then, and then I'll just kind of poke some holes along the way.
Sure. So he has, you know, Acosta's origin story is, you know, 100% my dad's story. So, and I love telling it cause I think it's a cool story. Yep. He left Cuba in the early 60s with, it was supposed to be his mom, him and his dad. But at that time you could leave Cuba, you could, but you had to have your house inventoried. You had to declare everything that you had. And then you would go to the airport in advance. They would re-inventory your house. And if anything was missing, you had to give them the money of it or you had to give it to them. And so my dad, the three of them, my dad, my grandmother, and my grandfather went to the airport, but my grandfather had sold his car to pay for the plane tickets. And they said, well, you have to, you know, give us the money or give us the car. And he said, you know, I don't have it. So he told my dad and my grandmother, you know, go on, I'll get the next flight. I'll get this figured out. I'll make it with you guys. But turns out the very next day was the start of the Cuban Missile Crisis. So there was no more flights. So it was just my dad and my grandmother, you know, figuring it out on their own. And they, first, you know, spent a couple days in Miami, just like every Cuban does, right? And then my grandmother had an uncle in Newark, New Jersey. And so they went and stayed with her uncle in Newark, New Jersey. And he went to eighth grade in Newark, New Jersey. But at the time, was the case with a lot of my family, and a lot of Cubans, they thought they were just coming to the U.S., Kennedy was going to get rid of Castro and then they'd get to go back home. And so when he went to eighth grade in Newark, New Jersey, they took all the Cuban kids, all the Cuban immigrants, put them in one classroom and just taught them eighth grade in Spanish because why are we going to waste teaching them English? They're going back home, you know, as soon as Kennedy gets rid of Castro and, you know, it'll be over. Right. Well, right. And so he went to eighth grade in Newark, New Jersey. And then because it was just him and my grandmother, you know, he got a little side job helping the neighborhood handyman fix things. And he kind of got, you know, interested in fixing things. And they've been in Newark for a little while. And then another family member had moved here to Charlotte. And they said, oh, you should come check out Charlotte. It's really nice. And there was a sock factory because cotton and textiles was really big at the time here in the Carolinas. And there was a sock factory that was actually owned by a Cuban gentleman. And he made like this, you know, public service announcements of sorts and said, hey, if you're Cuban and you need a job, come to Charlotte. And so that's how, you know, some of my uncles and family members had ended up here in Charlotte. My dad comes to visit and he tells my grandmother, Charlotte is way nicer than Newark. We should definitely move to Charlotte.
Agreed.
Right. And so they moved to Charlotte. My, you know, dad was a young teenager at the time, but really was just working because it was just the two of them. And this sock factory actually is how my parents met. Both my parents are Cuban and they each had uncles that worked at the sock factory. And my dad, you know, my mom came one day to like bring lunch to her uncle. And my dad was like, who's that girl? You know, and they got their uncles to introduce them. So my parents met. And the gentleman that owned the sock factory noticed that my dad was pretty good at fixing things. And he told my dad, hey, the local tech college here in Charlotte, I heard is starting this new AC program. It's going to be the wave of the future. You should go get in this program. So my dad goes, you have to take a little entrance exam to get into the program. He passes it. They let him in. Well, my dad hadn't gone to high school, and he's about to finish this 2-year program. And they're like, hey, by the way, we need your high school diploma or your GED. He's like, I don't have one of those. And he worked it out to let that. They let him go essentially an extra year, and he got his GED after he got his HVAC degree. And so he's about 19 at this point, and he gets job. He got a job, you know, working for a refrigeration company, because even then at that time, there weren't a lot of homes that had air conditioning. So refrigeration really was the thing. So he started with refrigeration. And then when my dad was about, I guess, 20 or 21, his father, my grandfather, was finally able to make it to the U.S. And he ended up, you know, finding a way through Mexico and then back, you know, here. And he had a really crazy story in the time that he was in Cuba, because he was one of those people, just like you hear about, that try and escape on rafts, right, to just get out of Cuba. And he had done that. But he had gotten captured, and then he was jailed for many years for having done that.
That's a whole other crazy story that we
But he did eventually make it to the U.S. And so finally he's here, and he sees my dad doing, you know, this refrigeration stuff. And he is just insistent to my dad that, hey, we're in the U.S. We have this opportunity. You have to start your own business. Right. And so at the ripe old age of 22, my dad starts the business with him and two other guys. He starts it out of his parents' house. He takes like a what used to be a window, turns it into another entrance, and turns that into his business. And at 22, he started it. And at the beginning, it really was just like adding air conditioners to homes, right? Because so few homes even had air conditioning, right? That's crazy. Like a heating contractor that added air conditioning to homes, right? And he slowly grew it, you know, little by little. And he, you know, when I was a kid, I was around the business, right? I was answering phones, you know, filing, all that kind of stuff that, you know, your parents expect you to do when they own a business. And, but I went off to college and I did my own thing for about 6 years. I worked for a marketing company. I worked for Vector Marketing. So anybody who knows about Cutco Knives, right? I did that for 6 years successfully, made a lot of money. My mom thought I was crazy. But in 2008, after having done that for about 6 years, my dad offered me a job to come and do sales for him. But he made me go to school all over again. He made me go to Central Piedmont and take HVAC classes. He sent me, at the time we were big train dealers, he sent me to Tyler, Texas for 3 weeks to get what he called at the time, he called it getting train washed.
I've heard that.
Eventually, he let me out into the field. And so that's how I started in 2008, was going on to the sales side of things. And I even met my husband at that time. And we, you know, started a family, and I was still on the sales side, still crawling in crawl spaces while I was expecting. just fun.
See,
right?
You hear that whenever you're all up there crying in the crawl spaces and attics, you know, at least you weren't pregnant and doing it.
Like my first, I have two boys, they're 10 and 12 now, but my first pregnancy, it was everyone around me. Like everybody around me was like, girl, you have got to stop climbing on ladders. Like you need to go sit down somewhere. And, I did. I sat down somewhere. But then with my second pregnancy, I remember like distinctly, I remember the crawl space when I was like, oh yeah, I can't do this anymore. I had like squeezed myself over some ductwork to get to the furnace. And then when I like turned back around, I was like, how am I going to get out of here? And I ended up like crawling the whole perimeter of the crawl space to find a, you know, an access to get out.
You're ambitious.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my story. As I continued in the sales process, my dad started giving me, you know, more and more responsibilities inside the office, some managerial stuff. And then my dad and I, a little bit, I will say truthfully, honestly, we clashed a little bit because, He kept saying to me that he was going to retire when he was 65, and he was 67. And I'm looking at my watch like, yo, you know, when are you going to do this, man?
You're a little late.
And I get an email from him. I'm actually out of town with my husband and we're eating dinner, and I get an email from him, and I open up the email, and it's an email with an attachment from where he's registered with the Secretary of State that I'm the president of the company. So that's how I found out.
That was thoughtful.
Yeah, he emailed it. I mean, we had talked about it. It wasn't total surprise, but I was like, oh, okay, so it's like really happening, like for real. Got it. Cool.
It's actually, it kind of does seem like something that Zeke would do. Now, I mean, yes. I think about that. And he didn't mean anything, like, obviously he means well. So it's like.
Yeah. No, I wasn't upset. I was just like, oh, wow, it's really happening.
All right. It's legit happening. Yeah. Hey, real quick. So let me ask a couple of questions and we'll get into like some of the details of the business. One, who do you think you're most like? Are you most like your dad? Are you most like your grandma? Like, who are you most like?
One thing you'll hear a lot from Blue On users, they've stopped ordering the wrong part. Derek from FH Fuhrer used to trust vendors for parts, only to send his techs out with the wrong one, costing time, money, and customer trust. Since bringing on Blue On, their misses have dropped to zero. He even says that if a mistake happens now, it's usually because someone didn't run it through Blue On. It's become essential to their parts process. And here at Peterman Brothers, we're definitely seeing that impact too. Click on the link in the description and grab a quick demo. It will be worth it.
Oh yeah, my dad and I are very similar, right? Which, you know, as teenagers was like us just like bumping heads like crazy. But no, we are very, very similar.
Got it. Okay. So, and he didn't have any business experience. He just kind of jumped into it as a technician. And
right.
Yeah, right. Okay. No. So, I mean, I think that's actually a very common story in the trades. I mean, even, you know, for me too, I learned business by being in business.
Yeah.
It is a cool story though, like on multiple levels, but you know, and I've heard you tell this story multiple times and talk about your dad's origin story too. I think it's also fair to say like yours, it's yours too.
Absolutely.
I mean, and now you take over officially as president at the end of 2019. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Good timing. So
great timing.
So hang on. So you started as a comfort consultant in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Great timing there too.
Great timing too. Yeah.
Awesome. Yep. Hey, at least that prepped you a little bit for this weird COVID stuff. So actually that's really interesting. And you were more than prepared to take on, you know, the role of president for Acosta. And it's cool that your dad sent you to school to do that and just like made you work your way through. I think that's how you maintain respect of all your employees. Cause I know you have a really good, really good relationship with your team and your staff and supporting them and caring about them and doing all those things.
Yep.
So now it's yours to run. All right. We're in 2019. Was there any, because I can remember meeting with you originally and then having to meet with, your dad and then, and then having to meet together. And it was like, I could tell you guys have disagreements, but like both passionate about them. And they were coming from two different places. So just two different, you know, you had your opinion and I thought your opinion was correct at the time. But you know, when you take over as president, you went into COVID. So it's kind of a weird, it was a weird start for you. But then you also went through a couple really fantastic years as the trades did as a whole. Was there any like immediate changes or things that you made that you've been wanting to make when you came on board as president and that you now you're the one that can make the call?
I mean, one of the things that I first did was decide to bring on like an operations manager. And you know, we interviewed people external. We had some internal candidates. And one of our internal candidates was a gentleman that was our top salesperson, consistent close rate, you know, well over 2 million in revenue every year. And he was like, yeah, I want to be the operations manager. And I just remember like panicking, like, well, if this guy's the operation manager, where are we going to get all of our sales from? Right. And, you know, does he understand that being a manager is going to be a pay cut? Like, you know, are we, do we have all of these things figured out? And he and I had a really good relationship because he had, ultimately, end of the story, right? He became our operations manager, but Donovan is the kind of person that, you know, would come to me from time to time and bring me things that were like causing pain from his vantage point as a salesperson, right? Either an install process wasn't going well or blah, 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 right? And at first, when he would bring these to me, they started to look like a little bit like gripe sessions. And I just said back to him, like, hey, like, I don't mind being somebody you can vent to, but these meetings aren't really productive unless you're actually coming and have thought through like, what is the solution?
Yeah,
How do we get around to this?
Yeah.
You know?
Good.
And we had developed this rhythm where if he was coming to talk to me, I knew that whatever it was like legit, right? Because he had really thought about it. He had thought about what the solution was. And I also knew that it probably wasn't going to be something that was going to be easy or that I was going to like to hear, but needed to hear, right? And so we already had some of that relationship, and it has really bled through in all the years that he's been our operations manager, has really helped to propel our business.
Yeah, that's good, because and he's still your guy today.
Yeah.
And what's cool about that is it also kind of sets the tone for that in regards to your leadership style, that everyone can be comfortable coming to you with problems or challenges, as long as you also come with solutions or at least your thoughts on. I mean, that does make it productive. And I've been through so many of those conversations, and we all have them. But it set the tone for how you are as a leader. I think that's a very cool thing to do, because it wasn't like a dictatorship style leadership. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, and when you took it on in 2019, what to give the listeners some frame of reference of size versus your 10 million 50 employees today, where were you guys at roughly then?
I'm not going to remember our employee count.
It don't matter. Just in regards to size.
But we were doing, from like 2015 on, we were doing, you know, pretty consistently 5 to 7 million, sometimes getting a little higher than that. But you know, that was kind of where we were landing. And 2019 for us, for Acosta, 2019 was like not an excellent year. We had a lot of, you know, growing pains, and we went into 2020, honestly, not being very healthy. And it was, you know, all of this pandemic stuff just like added to the anxiety of all of the things. And, you know, candidly, that PPP money was really helpful to us.
Yep.
It really was. It really, really was. It did what it was supposed to do, at least, right?
Yep.
And, you know, 2021 was a little better. 2022 was even better. And for Acosta, 2023 was a really good year. It really was. I know, you know, other people have had, you know, challenges, but we had different challenges in 2023 other than revenue challenges.
Listen, by the way, like, thanks for one being like transparent about that. Like that's like when you get the good stuff out of this, because everybody's been through some sort of shit like this already and nobody wants to talk about it. And I love being able to talk about it, because that to me is like the most relatable thing that you can really connect with someone that way. I'm around enough people that brag about themselves. And then these are my friends too. Like, but everybody also still talks about their lows too and their negatives. I just happen to like that part more, because it's like we can fix some things in there. Like, that's where we can become really productive, is in that moment. Now you're right. There's a lot of people who did have a rough 2023.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who view 2023 as rough because they're comparing it to the 2021, 22 years, which is unreasonable to say you know, because you didn't hit 20% growth or whatever. Like, you had a good 2023. I've heard that a few different times. And I also think it's based on a few things. You guys have been in business a long time, so you've got good brand equity in the market of Charlotte. Yeah. So even at your size, you've been around a long time.
Yep.
And so that certainly helped. Well, I think the markets were different, you know, markets are helpful. But what's interesting is that, you know, I think on the last podcast we were talking about 2023 and how like, hey, let's just get back to blocking and tackling, like some of the basics and doing those things really, really well. Yep. But that's not what everybody has to do because not everybody's in that same situation.
Right.
So 2023, you know, was a great year for you guys. Congratulations. It's nice. Now you guys are sitting at 10 million to get 50 employees. How is 2024 starting off for you? We're already through Q1. Like, how is it starting? Well, by the way, before you say that, I'm just going to put this out here because I've said this multiple times. I've been through this whole thing. Like, when you started, I started my business at this, you know, at the same time. And so I've kind of been through these different market swings, but I definitely, you know, been in, because I only have worked in this salon. I mean, you guys are a client of ours, so, and you and I have known each other for a while, but I said Q1 is going to be the hardest that we've been through for, because there's way more variables into all the private equity money that's at play now too. The more like was going to be difficult. People are like, more difficult than 2023. I'm like, I think it's going to be more difficult than 2023. I think 2024 Q1 is going to be the hardest. If we can get through that, I think we're going to be okay. As long as Mother Nature like kicks in a little bit and helps us.
Yeah.
So, but how has your 2024 started off?
So I will say that Q1 of 2024 was a time period when we were like, wait a minute, all of these ambitious growth goals that we had, maybe we need to resharpen our pencil on these big crazy goals that we had, and we made some adjustments, you know, internally to processes and partners that we were using and other vendors, and we were like, do we have to do this? No, we don't have to do this. Let's cut this out. let's stay healthy. Let's keep growing and keep our employees, you know, be able to be healthy and have the growth that we're wanting. And so once we sharpened our pencil, we had a nice, decent March. We had a really nice April, and I'm looking forward to May for the summer.
Yeah, you and me both. You and me both. And that's great. But because, I mean, you kept saying healthy, the healthy obviously being to me the most important part, because you've got a lot of people relying on you to run a healthy business, you know, not just yourself, but you, all your employees. In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Yeah. I feel that one like for real, right? Like, well, not only because it's like our mission, right? Like our mission as an organization is to make lives better, right? Like I always tell, my favorite thing to do when we hire somebody new is to like take them through the building, introduce them to everyone, you know, tell everyone's story with Acosta. Cause you know, one of my favorite things about our organization is like how many, tenured employees that we've got, like all of our leadership team is people that have grown in our business. And I think that's awesome. I think that that's one of the coolest things to be able to show people the growth opportunity within our organization. And I don't get up every morning like super jazzed that we're going to fix somebody's air conditioner, or fix somebody's electrical panel, right? Like I get up and I'm excited every morning to be able to make the lives of our employees better, right? And if I can make the lives of our employees better, they're going to have a positive impact on our customers. They're going to have a positive impact on their families, and we'll be able to make our community better. That's what excites me.
Yeah, that's cool. And actually, if Chad was on here right now, he'd be like going all in on this one too. He's actually, he doesn't show his emotion as much as you show your emotion. Yeah. But I know that's like what he doesn't go out and work on anything. Like that's not his deal, but he does care about his people and he wants to, you know, he has a lot of good leadership qualities and that I respect about him because he's poured so much into his team.
Yep.
And you have to, right? Because otherwise you don't have a business. You have people to go and serve the clients. Right. So let's do this. Now, you know, talking about Chad, he had submitted a couple of questions for me to ask you. I think this actually plays into it because, sure. You know, now more than ever, paying attention to like measurable KPIs and making sure that even your management team knows how to use those to move teams forward.
Yep.
And you guys are Nextar members, are you?
We are.
Okay.
So
one of the questions that Chad wanted me to ask you is how are you guys utilizing KPIs within the business to coach the field professionals? Like, so he's, you know, one of the things that he and I committed to each other on this podcast was to start to talk about some like real KPIs. Cause you hear one thing and then maybe the definition doesn't, you know, you aren't talking about the same thing.
Yeah,
but in this instance, he's talking about how are you using your KPIs to, to coach all your field professionals. Like, do you have something in place like that? You're saying these are the metrics that we're using.
Yep. Yeah. So I think about that in two ways. You know, one way is, you know, our managers are individually on a weekly basis meeting with each person and going over their KPIs and showing them where they are in that mark, and also like being firm that like this is where you need to perform to, and them seeing examples of people who we've helped and coached and trained and still are not missing the mark. And like, hey, if we've done everything to get you to where we expect you to be and you're still not hitting it, maybe you're just not the right fit for this role or for Acosta. And I don't mind reassigning you if you're a great employee, but you know, if we've thrown everything at it and we really feel like we've tried and you're not hitting it, like, why are we still, you know, having you in this role?
Right.
But I also think about, you know, one of the ways that, you know, maybe not KPIs exactly, but making sure that everybody understands like where we are as an organization and communicating and over communicating of like shouting out every single day, our operations manager, Donovan, every single day in the morning, sends out a message after our daily huddle and says, hey, this is what each manager has committed that we're going to do for today. And this is what we're starting off the day with. And then sends a follow-up every afternoon at 3 of like, here's where we landed and here's what we've got going for tomorrow.
So, which is cool because like that way he's kind of staying in there, staying on everything daily. Everybody kind of understands the expectations or what's going on that day. I did a podcast with a friend of mine named Chris Hoffman. Hoffman Brothers out in St. Louis and Nashville. And he was talking about when they would work their plan or their budget or their goal for the year, that they would work from the bottom up. And it talked about getting like your field professionals, everybody to be a part of the plan to reach the budgeting. So everybody kind of has set their own expectations for themselves. I thought that was a really great idea because then, you know, they came up with the plan themselves. Like you have an idea of what you need to do, but you help them work through the plan for themselves. That's actually a pretty cool tool to use because there's a gnat flying in my face. Did you see that?
Jeez. I can't see.
Almost went like right in my mouth. I swatted. but the, it might be the first time it's ever happened to me while I've been live, but he was talking about how that's how they would build out their budgeting was from the bottom up. I thought that was really cool because then they are a part of the solution and they came up with their own expectations to hit the goal and you can measure to those things. And then that's like, to your point is some people, even though you remove all the obstacles, you give all the training, you have all the conversations, just don't work out. And then you got to move on. I mean, it sucks, but you got to move on because you have a responsibility for this business to lead this business and you've given all the opportunity. But that's why I believe that any time you're utilizing these KPIs is so important because it's just the accountability piece of it. And the business needs to remain healthy. That's your responsibility.
Yep. Yeah. And I have some great managers, right? So my service manager, Marcia, who has grown with her business, she actually started as one of our CSRs. And then she was our dispatcher. She was a fantastic dispatcher. And then she was our warehouse manager for 3 years, and now for a little over a year has been our service manager. And she knows every little bit of everything, which is, you know, super helpful.
Super helpful, yeah.
She's been on so many sides of the business.
Yeah, and she probably has tons of respect too, because she's done all these different positions and worked her way through the business. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, but she does an excellent job of what you were just describing, where, you know, when we have that monthly goal of what we need to get accomplished, she generally is not necessarily starting with them of like, here's what we have to do. She's getting from them like, okay, this is how many calls we plan to do. What can you guys make happen with this? And almost always that number of what they're saying they can make accomplished with the amount of calls that we're going to get to them is bigger than what our budget says that we're going to have to do, right? So it, you know, she helps to really involve them and help to hit the goals that we've got to do as a business.
Perfect. I mean, and that's, I mean, again, but she's using real numbers.
Right.
Yeah. So, hey, real quick, I want to go back because I don't want to forget. I was just making a note of this. And because of my ADHD, I got completely sidetracked. But when you're talking about Donovan making that change from being your number one sales guy to now over ops, that like, that I'm sure people were listening to that and gave them like anxiety because they're thinking like, oh shit, I'm like maybe in that same position, you know? And just like it probably was you, like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Because does he understand? Well, you still have to look at that from like, what am I going to lose in sales?
Right.
How did that end up panning out for you? Because did someone else step up? Is that how it is? Did you find another person to come in? Like what was the transition that happened there?
Yeah. So, you know, part of the transition was a commitment from him to help to make sure that he was going to get anybody that we replaced him with trained up to the level that he was at. And so, you know, in the beginning, one, because he was a new manager within our organization, but just also human nature, he would sort of fall back into like focusing on sales because that's what he knew best. That's what he understood best. And he does have a great influence and impact on our sales department, but he's also really grown in all the other areas of the business as well.
Got it. So what's cool about this is that you have some tenured people who are leaders in your business who've been through the business. And that actually makes the most sense to me too, because he has a responsibility to the business to help coach, you know, these people to continue to make sales for like, part of operations. People will say, no. You got sales and marketing and you've got ops over here. A lot of times it is true, but it works so much better when it all works together. Like it shouldn't be this friction. It typically doesn't happen until you become like a bigger business, but he stepped right into the role he's comfortable with too, but he was still able to lead and coach at the same time. Mm-hmm. Now leadership, you know, you've had, a few people, you know, who have been there, who are leaders who've been there a long time. You have to be doing some sort of ongoing coaching and training for those leaders to continue to grow them. I don't know if you've had some come in who from outside the business who stepped into leadership roles. I'm assuming there's probably some of that that's happened, maybe not. But what type of training do you do with your leadership team to prepare them to help scale the company? Because my guess is you're not just trying to stop, you know, at 10 million. You want to continue to grow the business. So you got to have leadership team prepared to also lead, you know, scale the business. So what kind of training do you do to help prepare them, you know, as their leader to continue to scale the business as we move forward?
One of our like core values as an organization is to be ever evolving, right? And I think of, you know, I even think about my dad being an amazing example of that, right? Like going from somebody who, you know, barely spoke English to growing this business over, you know, 45 years. But he was always seeking knowledge, right? Like he understood that if he's going to be able to grow and sustain and all of those things, like he himself has to be getting better. And so he was a great role model for me of like getting more information, like going to the trainings, listening in on that webinar, you know, whatever it is, however obscure it might sound, right? Get the knowledge, you know, chew up the meat, spit out the fat, and adopt what really makes sense for your business, right? Like my dad had gone to a seminar at some point in the 80s, and somebody had said to him, like, the only way to really sustain your business year round is to do, you know, these memberships where somebody is paying you every year to come and clean their air conditioners. And that was pretty unheard of in the Charlotte area in the 80s. But he started doing it. He went to a seminar. He got that knowledge and implemented it. And shoot, we still have customers today that have been part of that plan since the 80s, right? And so that is, you know, really, that's the example that he set, right? And so similarly, right, like I am always trying to make sure that I'm participating and learning. And then like, I can think about even today, I got an email about a newfangled whatever that Generac is coming out with. And I was like, actually, that sounds like that might be something we could use. And I sent it to my sales manager and my warehouse manager, like, y'all go sign up for this webinar and learn what it is so we can see if we can implement it. And so I'm just, for me, that's the thing. It's like always learning more, encouraging to learn more so that we can grow and develop.
Yeah, sounds like that's what Zeke was doing too. He's being a constant student, you know.
Yep.
But he had to, right? He had to learn it. But I think we you hear some of like the biggest players, you know, that are out there. Right. And that's the consistent thing I hear over and over again is that they're always a student. You've got a behemoth in Charlotte in Morris Jenkins,
right?
You know, in that market that's you know, part of the Wrench Group family now, and I know Jonathan Bancroft very well, great human being. And even he, you know, talks about how it's constantly trying to just be a student and learn. And, you know, that's the same thing you hear over and over again, whether it's Dave Geiger, if it's Ken Goodrich, if it's he's different, right. You know, it's the same thing. So yeah. I think you have to, like, you never want to be so cocky that you've got it all figured out. Right. I think that's when like things could go south for you, but.
I had a manager when I worked for Vector Marketing that just really impressed upon me, and it's never left me, but really impressed upon me that you are either green and growing or brown and dying, and there's nothing in between.
That's right? Really like, good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that I really believe that true entrepreneurs, not the entrepreneurs, always are kind of like always trying to learn because we're trying to be great. We're trying to do good things. We're trying to build our business. We're trying to grow. We're trying to learn things. And, you know, a lot of people would do, you know, like in your world, I'm not sure if you guys did this. I'm sure you probably did some of it at some level, but you know, going and doing these shop, you know, tours and shop visits.
Absolutely.
When people would talk about not wanting to do it, it was like a pride thing. I'm like, no, like,
what?
Well, let the pride go because you can learn a lot of stuff just by going and visiting and talking to my shop. And more often than not, and maybe unless you're in the same market, but more often than not,
Somebody
wants to help you out, like, and they're going to teach you a few things and learn a few things, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, and Chad is, you know, Chad literally texts me while we're on here saying, "Hey, you want me to hop on?" Chad, sorry, you're not hopping on. It's too late. But he also is a really good, you know, student. He's flying everywhere, always trying to learn from people, and he's $130-140 million, you know, shop. Like, he's always constantly trying to learn things too. And for me, it's been interesting. You know, growing, I mean, Rhino's a 16-year-old business, you know, and there's a lot of employees here and there's a lot of responsibility. So I like carry this with me of like, if I don't continuously, like, you know, I end this podcast with no 0 days, I have to continuously be better. And I'm in technology world too. So like it's always changing. Even on the marketing side, you understand there's a lot of shit I got to learn all the time. It never stops. You know, Google is always evolving. It's just a lot. But I also, in some weird way, I really enjoy trying to learn new things. It's just, you know, it's part of the deal of being a good leader.
Yep. I went to an XR event. I've been to many, right? But one of them, John Maxwell, was speaking, right? And he's an incredible speaker, right? Like my hand was cramping from all the notes I was taking, right? And he really impressed upon us that, like, your team is only going to grow and expand to the level that you yourself are growing and expanding, right? So you can't expect them to be learners and growing if you are not doing that yourself and modeling that for your people.
Yeah. Lift your lid. Yeah. Lift your lid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or raise your ceiling, lift your lid. I've heard a couple different ways, but that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I mean, I don't know what's next for you guys, if you guys are going to add plumbing at some point or what the future is for Acosta, but I'm curious to know what it is. And really, you're not even that far in, like, you as the actual president of the business, you know, have so much runway ahead of you. They're still private. You're still privately held, which, by the way, I guess I will connect you with all those that I know that are privately held. The reason I love that, you know, a lot of our listeners will reach out to us and say, hey, can you start to bring on some contractors that are more relatable to our size business? And, you know, and there's quite a few that are listening that this is their education that they're using for now help scale their businesses. So you being at 10 million and kind of that whole story is very relatable for a lot of the listeners. And you know, at the end, you know, I know that you, you don't mind helping people too. So I'll ask if you want to leave your contact info for any of the listeners that might reach out. But but in your mind, like in your vision, what's next for Acosta? Is it just stay the course? Like, are you, what's on the horizon for Acosta?
We built a aspirational organizational chart for 2025.
Okay.
And plumbing is definitely on our bingo card of what we would like to add. And, you know, you had asked me earlier, and it's not that I'm like resistant, like, oh my gosh, we can't do plumbing, right? But I am somebody that it's got to be right, right? Like I've got to like who it is that we're bringing in and we're, you know, committing to start this whole division with. And so I'm absolutely excited about doing that and bringing on plumbing. And I think it's healthy for everyone within your organization to like understand where you'd like to be. So like in our break room, we have our current organizational chart. And then beside it, we have our aspirational organizational chart of like where we would like to be.
So have you shown that the aspirational org chart to any company that is, I'm assuming you have it built out to a size of business that you want to be or somewhere around there, but have you showed that to anyone who is of that size or greater to see like, hey, am I missing something?
I don't know if I've done it in that way exactly, but I've seen organizational charts of other businesses that are bigger than us. And I was like, oh yeah, I can see how that and this and, you know, all these pieces go together.
Okay, cool. So you got some reference points there.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So I was going to say, cause I can make a bunch of those connections too, but you're in Nexstar. Yeah. So like you got a lot of options for help.
Yeah, that is one of the, you know, we joined Nexstar in 2015. And so, we was friends of ours that run a business in Fayetteville. I don't know if you know the Blantons, but So anyway, so I met Will years ago at a Sandler sales training, and he, you know, being a female in the sales business, right? Like it is a little bit of a unicorn, right? Like, there's not a lot of women crawling in crawl spaces, but especially at that time. Thankfully, there's more and more. But anyways, you know, we became friends and he joined Nexstar and had grown his business a bunch. And he was like, you really should check out this thing. And so he invited my dad and I to go to one of Nexstar's like super meetings. And, you know, when you're not an official member yet, they kind of quarantine you over in a corner and like parade all of the coaches in front of you and show you all the amazing things that they can do for you. And at the time, I had already said to my dad that I would really love to join an organization like Nexstar or something like that. We were looking at ServiceNation. We were looking at Nexstar because I knew that the plan that my dad was to retire, and my dad had tons of experience, but if he was going to be exiting the business, I didn't have that same experience. So I wanted the people and the resources to be able to have to go to, because if you give me a roadmap, I got it. We're good. It was a 3-day conference. And at the end of the first day, like my dad, like hands over his credit card and is like, starts the paperwork to join, and it surprised the heck out of me because my dad is so slow to decide on things. But what Nexstar, you know, said they can do and what they actually have done in our business has been really helpful to us.
Good. Yeah. I mean, and so he was inspired enough to move forward with it, whatever it was, he believed it. I mean,
yeah.
Well, so let's do this. As like a closing thing, because we're already almost an hour into this thing, think about the path that you've just been on from even when you were sitting in the 5 to 7, kind of going back and forth there to the 10 mark. You know, we have a lot of listeners sitting in that world right now, trying to like figure shit out in 2024.
Yeah.
If you could give them advice, you know, on, hey, here's, you know, because you said maybe in 2023 you had some different, you know, issues than maybe others.
Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't a sales issue, but maybe from, again, all I'm asking is from your perspective and your business, but what's some good advice that you can give those that are sub 10 million that you would say, hey, if you're going to focus on a few things, maybe it can be these few things.
I mean, for me, what is something that has been of tons of value for me that I have learned the most from is from going and visiting other companies, right? Is from going and, you know, whether it be a training where I'm meeting other people that are our size or bigger than us that I can learn from and making those connections and literally calling them up and emailing them like, hey, when can I come check you out, right? Like when we were starting an electrical division, that's exactly what I did is I went and visited companies that had added electrical and like even my husband even like rode along with their electricians for the day to see what like a service call with those companies look like, right? And it was just that's learning cool. from others, right? You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's great advice. Because listen, you don't have to have it all figured out. If you go and visit some shops, you'll get the answers. You'll make the relationships, make the connections. I know that when we did our podcast a few weeks ago with a Green Beret, which was really, really cool. Chad and I met him at a smartac.com retreat down in Cabo, and he was a speaker. Okay. Never heard of him before, but he was a Green Beret. And he was talking about leading through chaos. Well, I felt like that was a really appropriate episode to have on. It was really, really good because the guy's done a bunch of tours in Afghanistan and like, he's a special ops, Green Beret, like legit. Yeah. And Chad talked into going and doing ride-alongs with his technicians. And he did it last week, sent a video over to the guests, our Scott Mann, who was on there. And so now it's like part of his normal routine. He's getting back in the field. It makes you think of like undercover boss, except he wasn't undercover, but you know, like it's cool to go and do that. Well, it's the same thing. Like if you can go meet with the contractor, like if you went to Chad's shop or any, like, you know, I have plenty of people I can name off to you. They'll come and show you all the things. Like they're not afraid to show you all the things. And if you can ask to do a ride along and that helps you by going and seeing, like I'm like a lot of times I was a good learner just by going and seeing and listening to the actual things as they happen, like going on an actual sales call or going on an actual, you know, service call or an actual, you know, whatever it is. I learned by being there and shadowing the best because you can see it all. So, I mean, it's great advice. It's an easy one. And since, you know, we're talking about going in tours, would you mind sharing your contact information with, whether it be LinkedIn or if it's social media, if it's email, if it's whatever, I mean, whichever one with the listeners.
Sure. So email is probably one of the easier ways to reach me. And so my email address is just simply Lauren, LAUREN, at acostainc.com. And Acosta is acostainc.com.
Cool. I got it. And I'll share it as well. So that way they have it. I appreciate you doing that, you know, for the listeners too. It means a lot, like, you know, and you'll have people that'll reach out to you. And listen, the listeners know that we're getting ready to go into summer. So you, if a little bit of heat comes, it might get a little cray, might get a little busy. So, you know, give a little bit of grace too, but I appreciate being able to do that. And Lauren, man, I'm excited. Thanks for jumping on here with me, you know, today. Sure. And, it was great. I'm grateful to have you on. It's cool to have known you so long. It's cool to hear the story. Never gets old. The story about your dad never gets old hearing it.
Yeah.
I love to hear the story about your grandpa more at some point in time. That would be really cool. But thank you for giving us and the listeners your time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And listen, I know we're going to have a lot of other female leaders that are going to be excited to hear your episode too. We've actually had quite a few female leaders on here too, which is cool. Yeah. And you got to keep in mind too, Rhino is run by a female. That is my wife. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but I appreciate you doing that, coming on here and just sharing the information that you've been through too. And obviously you still have such a big journey ahead of you. I can't wait to see if your aspirational org chart plays out. Knowing you, I have no doubt that that it will play itself out, and then you're going to create another one.
Yeah,
it's exactly
another
it. So shout out to our, you know, to all our listeners for, you know, leaving the reviews and things like that. We really appreciate that. And to Lauren, and listen, if you decide you want to leave a review, because for this episode in particular for Lauren, I would love to be able to share that with her too. I'm sure she would appreciate it. But I appreciate you listening always. And, you know, the whole purpose of the podcast is to give you some tools to continue to grow your business, you know, to hear what others are doing, to be a student, you know, of the trades and of the business. But, you know, there's a lot of information that you get. You don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you.